Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction tribe? Devin Tilley here, and today we get to go in and talk about woodworking. But not just the sawdust and the stuff that we love, that smell and what woodworking is all about. We're going to talk about how you systemize woodworking. And what that main message for you that is, Brady, when we were talking in our pre-interviews and getting all, what I'm so passionate about his story is that he's all about to help unify the woodworking industry. And he's been in the craft and he wants to take that craft and put processes to create better user experiences. So that when we think about when you go into a woodworking shop and that smell and that the sawdust and all that stuff, we have the same thing when you click to bid, design, order it, and put that together. And he's built a platform called AllMoxie. And how is this going to really benefit? Is he's grown up in this industry. He's worked in a cabinet shop and building these crafted solutions to streamline the millwork solutions in these handoffs. So AllMoxie is an online platform where if you sell hardwood, they can automate your office. So without further ado, let's go in and have a conversation, get to know Brady Lewis and his story and what he's doing all around woodworking and cabinetry as the founder at AllMoxie. Lock and load, tribe. What's your favorite beverage?
Okay, that's complicated. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Okay, so I love the burn of a crisp soda. But here's the thing, it gets complicated. Format matters to me. So in a can, at night, it's Diet Pepsi. In the morning, it's Coke Zero. If it's on ice at a restaurant, it's Diet Dr. Pepper. Fast food, like a cheap just paper cup, Diet Coke. Plastic bottle, Diet Pepsi. They have to be cold.
I am lost.
Never drink the whole thing. So it's only good for like 5 to 10 minutes.
So it's like this different, like crisp out of different places, different ways to do
different formats, different places. Yeah. It has to do with carbonation, you know, the equipment that different restaurants have. I mean, all that. It's hard to explain.
That is a great answer. And I love when we get to do a speed round of like what people hit me with is like, okay, we're getting into Brady's mind right off the bat here. So tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Well, I've had the opportunity to travel quite a bit. So it's not as much about a specific place, but I really love just a crazy experience that I might get into in a place. So for me, it's just about that. I've had some crazy ones. I've, you know, been in the backseat of a car in the Ukraine where I thought I might get killed in a warehouse district and my body left for dead. And I've been, you know, like, one time in Lancaster, Amish country, I pulled over and bought some fruit from some kids and ended up like, you know, eating moon pies from the woman of the house's kitchen and taking a tour of the stables, the Belgian horses. And so for me, it's just about like any time that I can get myself into a crazy, like super genuine situation like that. My favorite city, I will say, is London. I love London.
Cool, cool. Give us one story from being in London.
Oh man. I don't know that I have like a good story from there. It's just, I mean, it's the cool thing about London, I think, is for me, it feels familiar. You know, there's like, you can just, I mean, all my ancestors are from there and it just feels familiar, but yet it's different enough. Everything's just like tweaked just a little bit to where it just feels exciting, exotic.
Cool.
So yeah, I love London. There's just, you know, layers and layers of history, I guess, is what the secret sauce is there.
Awesome. And what do you like to do when you're not talking cabinetry and putting this software or being in a cabinet shop? What's your passion outside of that, that we passionately call the art of construction?
Well, I love to create. So like painting, sculpture, I love to build furniture, you know, welding, woodworking. I love to design things, and especially where all that comes together. So like kind of a passion project right now is building like super efficient and tech-based like vans and trailers. So like a self-sufficient, some people would call it like a bug out vehicle, where you can just like take this thing anywhere and just like survive. So like, you know, it has solar, it has all these systems that, you know, just work. And so like figuring out a really complex system and like how to put something like that together is really intriguing and kind of a recent hobby of mine.
All right. Well, we got to know a little about Brady. What is your story that led you to founding All Moxie?
Okay. So I grew up in a cabinet shop, you know, from a young age, grade school age, I guess. My dad had me working, sanding doors. I hated it. I hated the monotony and I just wanted to be as far from it as I could. But I was in Mexico. I went to a plant, a GM car plant, and watched the automation and was just really inspired. Then I wanted to get married. I got married pretty early, fell in love. So I needed to get serious about making money. So I ended up, you know, going and working for my dad in his cabinet shop with kind of the caveat of, hey, I can use technology to this previously, you know, low tech place that I hated. And I can be passionate about creatively implementing things. And so it kind of took shape. And once I got to the office, I was like, wow, you know, the woodworking industry is really lacking in all, you know, software systems, all things automation. And so we just started building what I needed at the time. We had customers eventually asking about it and, hey, where can we buy that? And that's where All Moxie was born.
So what did you set out to solve when you found All Moxie? And thanks for that kind of shedding light of you're in a cabinet shop. You went out and saw an assembly line and saw, hey, there's better ways to do this. But what was the big thing as you figured out like that you're out to solve with All Moxie?
Well, it was the ordering system. And so, you know, this is like, what, 2004, 5, 6-ish. So, you know, Amazon was infant. You know, not everyone was in the mindset that they are today, where we're all just like, well, yeah, online ordering, online everything. So it was just coming to be. But like, what I saw is that, you know, our customers were handing us orders on napkins and handwriting and faxing them in and mailing them in. It was just a mess. So we would take
faxing,
all those things.
What's a fax machine?
Yeah. Google that for all you younger listeners. Google that, right?
Yeah, just kidding.
Yeah, so those orders were just coming in and we were inputting them into Excel sheets and, you know, just all kinds of problems. I mean, it goes without saying at this point, but we really needed to streamline that and rid ourselves of all of the inefficiencies that brought us. And so, you know, kind of at that same time is when the cloud, I don't even think it was coined yet, but like the cloud idea was just starting to take hold. And it was like, you know, I kind of thought, wow, you know, this needs to be something that people can just do from anywhere online. And, you know, they do it themselves. They need to be able to order cabinet doors from us on their own on a Saturday night. And it needs to be not on a napkin. And so we set out to do that eventually, or, you know, originally.
And I appreciate that insight. And as we were doing our pre-interview, why I was really excited to have you on the Art of Construction is you just didn't want to sell All Moxie, like just take orders. Like we really had some great conversations about, you know, what are we really out to solve as breaking down the silos in the Art of Construction. And that's where we're going to ask questions around, you know, how All Moxie came to be. But I love how you answer about how it can truly help the Art of Construction. But first, tell us about how All Moxie works and kind of what the channels, who uses it, how it all works.
Yeah, great question. So at this point, All Moxie is an ERP platform, a SaaS platform, if you will, software as a service. We have a drag and drop designer. So someone can land, well, okay, so we white label our software. So our customers have sites that their customers can go to, drag and drop, design a kitchen, hit go. That design is instantly translated into an order list that's instantly translated into cut lists, part lists, labels, invoices, you know, anything that a cabinet shop would need to produce that order. The data is automatically sent to the machines. You know, the employees are clocking in and out of jobs, so it's doing time tracking. The software is collecting payments and, you know, having basically everything we're used to now with kind of a self-serve online platform, mostly focused on component manufacturers, so door boxes, molding, those kind of guys, cabinet shops, so, you know, custom residential cabinetry, all kinds of cabinet shops, right? And that's kind of our bread and butter at this point.
Cool. So we got that. And so for the Art of Construction Tribe, this is a twofold question, is that when I set out to start this Art of Construction, it was like, you know, we talk about APIs and all these things with different softwares as a service and white label to be able to pass the data back and forth, as we've been doing a lot of work with Trimble and other companies where we talk about one source of truth. But to dive in and dive out, I first want to understand, does your white label, does it work with the Cabinet Visions, which are the specialized softwares for selling cabinetry or other design servers, but then also zoom out and talk to us about quote unquote non-specialized woodworking or cabinet software, like the 800-pound gorillas like Revit or SketchUp or those other tools, how it mixes and matches and works with that for the tribe?
So we started out obviously in the component manufacturing part of it. So we solved that, then kind of moved to custom cabinet shops. And in that, yes, had to solve the how do we work with Cabinet Vision 2020, Microvellum, you know, all these other design softwares. So yes, we do integrate with those. And, you know, kind of next on the list, and you know, speaking of API, is that's what we are going to tackle next, where we are launching our API. And, you know, the future really is in everyone having a good API and being able to send data in and out of whatever software fits you at whatever part in your workflow you need to tackle. So, you know, on a very like simple level, yes, technically we can export and import into things like SketchUp in a very powerful way, though. The future and where we're just beginning the process is in those APIs that really integrate heavily and carry out, you know, more advanced functions. So we're just now launching, you know, a third-party developer program and also, you know, an app store where we're going to start to see people building apps, for example, that would make the connection between, you know, Revit and Almoxie more powerful.
Well, I couldn't agree more with that. And that's why another reason I wanted to have you on the podcast is that you think as that go-giver mentality versus my intellectual property, is that you have to fit into my Almoxie box. And the whole IT box is a tough thing when you're figuring out how the stuff flows through that. So that's some good context about how the digital build and how the digital handoffs would work. But the part that I'm curious for you to kind of talk about is the handoffs of what we call the Art of Construction customer care wheel. When you're done digitally building this, where does it go? And does this data go to your saws and your machines and the different things of the people, these craftsmen that we, one thing that I think you and I have connected on is that the art of construction is the craftsmen's getting back to doing the craft, the cool custom stuff to make stuff work. But you have to have this digital stuff educate where they're out on the shop floor. So how does that work on your mindset and with what you're building?
Yeah, so a few answers there. I mean, and I want to hurry and touch on one thing you said about letting craftsmen be craftsmen. That's, you know, one of Almoxie's, I guess, passion projects is letting people be people, letting craftsmen be craftsmen, and you can do that by taking away the really mundane things out of their lives so that they can just focus on what it is that only they can do, only humans can do, right? So that's part of our mission, is just taking away basically all of the work that it takes to move information around. It's a considerable amount of work if a human has to do it. So we're automating that so that, you know, craftsmen can be craftsmen and people can be people. So how that looks as far as, you know, the landscape, the construction landscape, I mean, we have a vision where, you know, construction, the construction industry doesn't have to look at the woodworking industry as a thorn in their side where, okay, now I got to order cabinets. Yay. I got to go through this tedious, time-consuming process where, you know, change orders are difficult and, you know, communication takes a long time. You know, we want to provide the woodworking industry a way to present themselves more favorably in the larger construction industry. So what that means is the construction industry having an Amazon-like experience where you know what you want, you go find it, you quickly order it, you get all your answers immediately, you pay for the thing, you know what you're getting, when you're getting it, the whole thing really easily, even on complex customizable products like woodworking. So what that really means for our customers, you know, the woodworking shops is they need to have a platform that they can present themselves to the larger construction industry, have orders coming in, have all the tools they need on their end to quickly produce those orders. So like I said before, you know, the order automatically creating all of the parts lists, the order automatically sending data to the saws, the order automatically sending notifications about progress back to the customer, all of that kind of thing. So that's really our focus is, you know, giving woodworking companies this platform that makes them more useful in the larger construction industry.
So we've made sure that we're setting this up to be followed by all or shared in the whole life cycle of the art of construction. We're taking the digital build of the cabinet part and being able to communicate out to the shop floor. But the most important thing of all of that is how does the cash flow work? So if you built this, can you talk to us about, you know, most of your cabinet shops probably are working on a QuickBooks type platform or similar accounting software. Have you thought about that in the process?
Yeah, that's become an integral part of all of this. I mean, the bottom line is that's what business is, right? Is the movement of the money. So early on, we had to build a lot of tools, a lot of integrations with all the top, QuickBooks and the different accounting softwares. We have all of those basics covered. And then, you know, the future, like I said, is looking bright with even more integrations, more powerful and more quick interactions with our API system.
So we've talked through how it integrates, but a lot of the men and women in these shops are maybe smaller and trying to scale this up, right? And trying to take different platforms. Have you set it up for like with payment portals and how that whole, you know, as you say, business is the movement of money. Can customers pay with different platforms and how does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. So going back in history, I mean, that was probably the second problem that we needed to solve when I was running my dad's shop early on is the money part. You know, we extended credit to all of our customers because that's just how it worked. And we really didn't have a good system for credit limits and making sure that people paid on time. I mean, it was all, checks in the mail type thing. So we were losing money all over the place and it was going to kill our company at one point. You know, as you scale a company like that and don't have the system in place for actually collecting the money properly, you run a huge risk of being toppled by, you know, increasing customer orders and credit that you've extended. So it kind of becomes a house of cards. Anyway, so we did build, you know, very early on a financial system with checks and balances that would help a small shop, medium shop, large, any size shop. But in our case, back then, a small shop that didn't have the manpower, the collections department, if you will, to be able to collect the money in an efficient way. So yes, it is integrated with a payments platform with reminders and all kinds of checks and balances. Like I said, that is available for use, but also not a requirement for Almoxy. If you want to pay an Almoxy customer through their system, it's, you can still do a check, you can do credit card. There's all kinds of options there.
And that stuff is so critically important, especially, you know, the art of cabinetry is like using so many different mediums from around the world or different veneers and blending all this stuff together that right now supply chain of one of those parts and pieces can really throw things off, right? And if you don't have those integrated systems and you could get held up to where somebody doesn't pay for that last piece, this is something we got to be critically important of systemizing so many unknowns right now. Wouldn't you say that's super important for the future of construction and to keep your cabinet shop not just alive, but thriving through these uncertainties of the ups and downs in the art of construction?
Oh, it's paramount. And you know, another example of that is on the front end. You know, if you're a contractor that's been ordering XYZ from a cabinet maker for years, and you're ordering it and you're telling your customer, yeah, it'll be done by this day, and you know, we're going to close on this date, and then all of a sudden the cabinet maker has these supply chain interruptions and it takes them a few days to get around to telling you. Well, first of all, it takes the supplier a few days or weeks to get around to telling the cabinet shop, and then it just rolls downhill and all of a sudden you're in trouble. Well, the solution for that really is the, you know, the contractor on the order, he needs to understand, hey, I can't even order this right now. So the second he goes to place the order, he's in, you know, in a sense, peering into the inventory of the whole supply chain, because the, you know, the cabinet maker has his info up to date and his info is tied to the supplier. So it speeds up the whole process for everyone up and down the supply chain to understand the limitations, the price increases, all of that. So, not just availability, you know, but you know, a supply chain shortage could bump pricing on a certain material 20%. That's really important to know before it's, you know, a month into the project or whatever, and all of a sudden there's surprises and somebody's eating that. Well, would have been nice to know that just right up front, and you could have dealt with it before it even became a problem.
Yeah. And that's why I thought this was timely for this podcast, as we're all trying to figure out what is the new normal coming out of COVID and how do we learn and change business practices. And that's why I wanted to talk with you and your platform, because this is a critical way to be able to match up those things for all the different parts, right? So the people in these shops are at the mercy of a bunch of pieces coming in that then they custom make it to this specific job going out. And if you're at the mercy of, you can't get all the parts and pieces, and that just keeps compounding, you know, I own a window and door company. You have a cabinet shop. Those are huge line items in the art of construction, right? But they're tied into everything else, right? And we're all trying to figure out where AEC is broke right now. And these are the things that we can systemize that. One question, I always love it when I get to have founders or people that took all these risks and were huge fans of the art of construction, and you're like, you know what? I'm not just going to be in the cabinet shop with my dad. I'm going to go take this thing for the good of all of woodworking. How did you come up with the name Allmoxie?
That's a good question. So it's kind of underwhelming, the answer, but so I founded it in what, like 2010, 20, depending on where you draw the lines, but somewhere between 2008 and 2011. But anyway, so I knew that I was too early for, you know, the woodworking industry to accept a cloud-based solution, but I also knew it was going to take time to really build the thing and all of that. So I knew that my early customers would be the type of customers that just were kind of ahead of the curve and just got it. So I was looking up words that meant that. I was in a thesaurus, you know, and Moxie was a word that came up. And it was kind of an older showbiz term. So if you had Moxie, you had kind of the X factor. It was kind of like you had balls, you had whatever, you had it. So I was like, you know, that is kind of like the people that are going to get this, that's them. So I liked Moxie, but then I was like, we couldn't get Moxie the domain. So I put all in front of it. So that's all Moxie. And then instead of IE at the end, I liked the Y at the end just because it felt more masculine. So Allmoxie. I've wanted to change it a few times but our customers objected. So here we are, all Moxie.
There you go. I love it. Thanks for sharing that and being the leader of the All Moxie tribe within the Art of Construction. I'm excited to ask you this question that we always ask as we get ready to close this thing out. For a guy that saw this need and went for it, as we sit here today recording this January 26, 2022, and this will be coming out live here soon, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology in construction?
Well, there's a cliche, right? At this point, it's a cliche that, you know, every company is a tech company. That's very important, I think, for the construction industry to understand. I mean, there's a lot of innovation going on in materials and tools and a little bit in like methods, but the low-hanging fruit really is the information. When you think about the amount of time it takes for information to move around before a physical product can be constructed or, you know, realized, it's a significant amount, but somehow we do a good job of ignoring that. Information moving around efficiently and automatically really is, I think, the low-hanging fruit for the construction industry, for the woodworking industry. And that's the type of thing that we're trying to work on. So I think a good example is like I've brought this up already, that the Amazon shopping example. Like, you think of the time it used to take in the 80s and 90s to buy a pair of socks, right? Especially like a perfect pair of socks or anything. You had to do some research. You had to get in your car, drive across town, go to the store. They didn't have it, blah, 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 right? So you would spend a significant amount of time just trying to find a thing that was satisfactory. And now, if you look at it, what Amazon has done is they've just brought the information all together so that you can just get on a website, see thousands of comparable items, read customer reviews, quickly find your thing, and it shows up on your doorstep in 2 days. And you did all that while you're sitting on the toilet. Like, that's that example right there for you know, that's a consumer example, but think if we could look back on the construction industry and laugh at what is coming, or laugh how things are now because of what is coming. I mean, it's going to be like that for windows, doors, concrete, you know, everything, you name it. We're going to laugh at these days. You remember how much time it used to take to get a bid on a slab of concrete, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think is coming, and it's exciting to think of it being different than it is now.
I love it, man. Well, the last question, I love when we get to founders of company come in and just think about when you go out there and crush a tribe of the riches and the niches, what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates of the Art of Construction tribe to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
For some reason in our industries, and I think it just comes from maybe our blue collar tendencies and backgrounds. I mean, we're building things, right? And so I think we put a lot of emphasis on just hard work. And maybe this is just me and my upbringing, but, you know, hard work and that's it. But like, I think if we encourage each other and really emphasize technology and the movement of information and not be complacent in where we are now, be, you know, actively uncomfortable with the situation as it is and really encourage each other to build out better systems, you know, not just in woodworking, not just in concrete, not just here or there, but like if we all, you know, really push each other, I think that we'll get there faster than if we have the if it ain't broke, don't fix it mentality. Mm. And so that's, I think, what I would leave with my customers and anyone in the construction industry is let's be uncomfortable with this current situation and push each other to make things faster and better.
I love it, man. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thanks for having me, Devin. It's been fun.
Awesome. So much gold there, and I just want to recap a couple things. Business is the movement of money. That was a classic line he said, and we can't forget around about that. But whatever your craft is, and as he's leading our woodworkers out there, woodworking is the craft. That is the art, right? But don't forget the of construction. The craft has to make sure the money is flowing properly and you have systems in place or it gets messy quick. And I appreciate him sharing the story of this was his pain. He's like, we're not going to be able to do it this way if we keep going this way. And so 22 years ago, recognized, and he had the moxie to go for it. And today he is here for all of our woodworkers in the Art of Construction tribe. And the last thing I want to say is that he said, if you don't recognize it, you better pay attention, because it's a cliche, but I think in construction, we struggle with this. We are all tech companies. But make sure, I would say to you, Art of Construction tribe, that you go get the right help. And if you're in woodworking, you better understand and look at things like all moxie so that you can crush your craft. So that is how we all do it. We're all tech companies. When we're all sitting on the toilet, you go order your parts and we work together so that you can go out there and have as much fun as possible. Crush it out there, tribe.